Oh, as always, it's great to be here. I know enough to get me through the day. That's about it.
Exactly, and that's exactly what our goal is here. So let's get to the game on Saturday night. Ben got his couple series in, and the two touchdown passes went to Pat Freiermuth. Neither happened to be an easy catch. Are we seeing a quarterback showing some confidence in his young tight end on plays like that?
I'll say this. Ben put both of those in the spot that is most able to be caught by his guy and nobody else. Those were textbook throws, and he put them on like 50-mile-an-hour rope. I mean, they were bullets. Freiermuth looked like he belonged on both of those throws. The route that he ran, it looked like they had run that, you know, 100 times before. I was impressed with that. It's shaping into a nice hookup, a nice connection, and the value of it is, as much as we enjoy dogging Eric Ebron, you can put the two of them on opposite sides of the line in those kinds of situations and create mismatch problems. And that's something I think that was completely missing from the Steelers' short yardage and red zone offense last year. Clearly, they didn't have a second tight end. I mean, I've talked about this before. I've always appreciated Vance McDonald's workmanlike manner, you know, mm-hmm. the way that he went about his job. But he was working on like half a body last year. I mean, he just was not the same guy that we had seen before. And Ebron probably isn't enough to handle all of that on his own. They're keying on him. He's the guy that they're looking to get the ball to. And they weren't able to exploit any one-on-one situations, it seemed like anyway, in a lot of the red zone. Couple in the fact that they can't run the ball. Some of that has to do with Ebron and his, you know, lack of ability in that regard. I talked all offseason the fact that one way or another, through hook or crook, the Steelers were going to need to find a second tight end. I don't care where it was or how they did it. Freiermuth, to me, and I'm on the record as saying, very much like what Mike Tomlin said, great, can you block? I mean, really, that's more of where I think his ground zero begins. Mm-hmm. But from what we've seen of him, if he is capable of starting with a specialty role that he can do at a high level, he's going to have a real nice year. And building on that, he can have a great career. That I think is really kind of the ceiling that he had. The team's going to need to be able to block well, but getting them down to the red zone in the manner that Ben did, and frankly, he should have on all three possessions that he was out there. Keep in mind, incidentally, an Ebron drop on third down got him off the field the first three plays that he had. You put all of that together, if they can move the ball the way that they did against, you know, to be fair, a pretty hapless Lions team, I think they can compete. And that's a good thing. And I think Freiermuth is definitely going to be a part of that. In specialty situations, and those are the downs that the Steelers lost consistently last year, and I think it's exactly what they were trying to address with their first three draft picks, with Freiermuth being the second of the three. Mm-hmm. Put all three of those together, they can win situational football on offense, and I don't think they would have had the demise that they did over the last, what, 5-6 games if they were able to win more of those downs consistently throughout the year.
What do you think of Joe Schobert?
I don't think we saw enough of him to really render much of a decision on him. I like him as a player. I like what I have seen of him in the past. He's to use this phrase again, he's a workmanlike guy. You know, he gets out there, plays the game on three downs the way that it should be played. He's better in coverage, I think, than people would think that he is, considering how many tackles he had when he was in Cleveland. You bring him over to Jacksonville, perhaps not the right contract to have signed him for a coaching staff and a front office that isn't there anymore. Nobody in Jacksonville had a good year last year, let's be honest. Right. Doesn't look like they're going to have all that great of a year this year either, but right. It just ended up being the wrong fit. The Steelers can benefit from that because I think, anyway, Schobert gives them probably more coverage dimension than they would have had had Bush been healthy. If he stayed healthy last year, if he did not have a torn ACL to recover from, perhaps he's at a high level coming into this camp. To me, honestly, Steve, it doesn't look like he is. I don't like the way that he looks.
Right.
He's not there yet. It's going to take a little bit yet. And I think Schobert helps raise that floor a little bit. It gives them probably their dime linebacker. I think you take Bush off of that. I don't think he's there coverage-wise. I think Schobert can do that, though, and they can remain versatile on defense, which they're really going to need to be. In today's NFL, if you're not a versatile defense, you're not a good defense. So right. Schobert gives them that depth to be able to go deeper into sub-packages and be a more versatile, more well-rounded defense.
One more coming up on Friday night, which will be for the Steelers, their fourth. Is there a veteran, and I don't mean a starter, I mean it doesn't have to be a starter, is there a veteran that should be on notice that needs to show value on Friday night?
I don't think so, but cuts come out here, and the Steelers will probably release theirs at exactly 4 p.m. Eastern. I'm sure they've notified whoever they're going to. I'm curious to see if there is a move there,
right.
Simply because I think this would be, if they respected a veteran player, this is the cut that they'd make for him.
Right. To give him a chance to give him a chance to hook on with somebody else. Yeah.
Exactly. And there's not, you know, they might get a couple reps with somebody in that final preseason game, that final tune-up. This is the one they would cut now. I'd want to see that first, but I don't know. I mean, with the fact that Antoine Brooks hasn't been healthy after a real good start to him in camp and in preseason, I thought Brooks might have bumped Arthur Millett off the roster, but Millett, even though he's injured now as well, I'm not sure you can get rid of him, just considering what he's done to this point, and I'm not sure if he's just not the first of many nickelbacks it sounds like the Steelers are going to have. Based on what Tomlin has said, he might just have to be that by default while Brooks, you know, kind of gets caught back up, gets healthy again. Otherwise, no, I don't know. I wouldn't think that any of them would. You know, you might cut Josh Dobbs free, but I don't feel that they necessarily have to do that today either. I don't know. I think their team was pretty – you had a pretty good idea of it coming into training camp, who they were going to be. They had, I think, positional battles more so than roster battles. I don't think there'd be a veteran that they'd need to get rid of cap-wise. I would have thought if there was a battle in that regard, it would have been between Joe Hayden and the former Steelers, Steven Nelson, but they took care of that back in March. So I don't think so. Maybe if you want to call it this, I mean, Jalen Samuels, probably a guy that's on the bubble. I don't see him making the team. I'm not sure what happened with Benny Snell. Maybe somebody else knows, but he hasn't participated in seemingly anything. So you can't put him on the team. So I think between Samuel and Balazs, one of those two is your third back. I think that's probably Balazs. We'll see a good amount of Jalen Samuels on Friday if mm-hmm. if they decide to keep him. But I could see them cutting him loose now as well. I don't know. I think it wouldn't be a surprise if I could tell you what it is today. I don't anticipate any of that happening.
The reception from Mason Rudolph when he came into the game was not exactly kind. On the home field, in terms of him coming into the game. Mike Tomlin doesn't think about such things, but I was just surprised that he was received that way when he ran just running onto the field. I mean, Ben played his two series, he was done, and he was the next guy up.
Yeah, I think, one, it was fun to see Ben, the way that he was playing. I think there might have been some, keep Ben in there, come on, I paid money for this, and I want to see the Steelers put up 80 on the line.
Right, right,
I think they could have,
right.
They kept their feet on the gas. There is some consternation as far as Rudolph goes. There's certainly a contingent of fans that feels Dwayne Haskins should be the backup. I think it's pretty obvious. You know, if you look at it objectively, and I'm not gathering that many fans are able to do that when it comes to the Steelers' back quarterback, but I don't think Rudolph would have fairly been cast as an equal partner in the competition for the second string quarterback of the team this year. Bringing Haskins in off the street, not having had him in a camp before, and then to say that he's on equal footing with Rudolph, I think is silly. It's just not what you do. They don't know exactly what they have with Haskins in an actual game situation. They have plenty of that with Rudolph. And the reality is, if you look at the two of them in terms of their career arc, they're almost equal. I mean,
right.
It's scary how close they are as far as how they've performed. If that's the case, why would you go with the devil you don't know over the devil you do?
Right.
You wouldn't do that in that situation. people just like the flash, I think, of the new guy coming in. Haskins has a great arm. It's fun to watch him, you know, sit back and sling it. But Rudolph availed himself well. I thought he looked like he looked the part. For me, I would have thought, and if this seems to be the direction the Steelers are going to go, Rudolph would have had to lose the job. And there's no way anybody objectively could say that Rudolph lost the job.
Right.
He performed pretty well. And usually the counter to Haskins' ascension into this position is based on Rudolph not finishing off drives with the twos and the threes in the second, third, fourth quarter of a preseason game. We're being a little too literal with the results of preseason. Obviously, you want to score. I thought Rudolph put up a good ball to Juju in the corner. I thought Juju made a good competitive effort to come up with that. The defender knocked it away. Things come into it. But Rudolph led the team well. I thought he threw with confidence. For the most part, he protected the ball. I don't think he had an interception. I know they had the fumble on the handoff with Chase Pool, with Claypool on the first series of the preseason. But Rudolph didn't do anything to suggest to anybody that he's a bad option, that there is somebody available who's better than him right now to step in. Rudolph is the guy that they're going with. But once again, what matters here is the team is ride or die with Ben, as it should be. Rudolph shouldn't matter this season. Haskins shouldn't matter this season. If they do, other things have gone wrong, and the situation probably isn't going to be fixed by either one of them. So, you know, just kind of take that for what it is.
We know how Bill Belichick operates. Bill Belichick is somebody that takes a long, hard look at somebody, even if they've been with him for, let's just say he's been with him for 7 or 8 years. And he's looking around saying, you know what, I know he's going to be great one more year, but boy, I see the possibility that when he gets to the year after that, it's going to be a fall off. So he gets rid of them or decides to move on. Now, getting rid of them is kind of cold, but he moves on to somebody else before he gets to that bad year. How is Mike Tomlin in that? Is Mike Tomlin in some ways that way, or is he loyal to a fault? What is Mike Tomlin?
I think to address that, we can't just look at Tomlin. Part of it is Colbert as well.
Okay.
I would say this. The Steelers, I believe, and I don't have the stat in front of me to show it, but they pay out more money on their extensions than any other team does. And what that means is when they sign a guy to a five-year contract, he stays for 5 years. There are exceptions to that. It doesn't always work out that way. By and large, though, that's what they've done. And a lot of the times, even if it's not that guy, even if it's not the primary guy that they signed, if they have a backup that comes in to take his job, you kind of understand where that comes from. It's still a business in the end. But for the most part, they stick with their veterans. And we've seen the good side of it. We've seen the bad side of it. Cam Hayward is a good example of a guy that they weren't going to let go. They signed to another extension. They're paying him pretty much market for the production that he's giving, and it's still great. But if Cam drops off, he's probably still going to play through that contract.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't happen to everybody. Troy Polamalu being an exception, you can understand they're always going to be one or two. But what you have to understand, too, is when they sign a guy to a five-year contract, if they cut him, it's after 4 years. It's not after three. There are a lot of teams that do it after three. Le'Veon Bell did not believe in that. He didn't trust that the Steelers were going to do that. And what happened to Le'Veon Bell, he got cut after really 2 years of his contract. Now, he got the money that he had agreed to sign on for, but the Steelers would have kept him for four. I just, you know, we know that through their track record. The idea here, obviously, in an ideal situation, is to not have the guy signed at a point where he did drop off and he is ready to go. You can kind of just walk away and move on. Alejandro Villanueva, I think we're going to see as an example of that. Probably not Mike Hilton so much, but that's another guy that they let walk because they felt they have better players behind him for the dollar. There are examples on both sides of the aisle. I think overall the Steelers probably excel in that in some areas and have had issues with it in others. David DeCastro, I don't know how I forgot about him.
Right.
He's a guy they cut pretty quick after finding out he wasn't going to be ready to go. Definitely the cold, brutal side of the business. David DeCastro came in a replacement for a veteran at some point. Maurkice Pouncey replaced a veteran. before a great 10-year career, and he retired. Villanueva replaced Kelvin Beachum, who was a good veteran, in my opinion, who got hurt. Beachum's still in the league. Marcus Gilbert was replaced by, you know, a couple different guys before they found the solution that they want. All these guys probably met the end of their you know, serviceability in the NFL, mm-hmm. but the Steelers would have paid them pretty close to the end of the contracts that they signed. So I think to a fault, they might err on the side of this is a guy that we made a commitment to. We want to stay to that, but they're not putting that in stone either.
Finally, any player or two that you're looking at for Friday that could enhance their chance of making the team?
I would have said Antoine Brooks, to be honest with you. He's the guy that I kind of wanted to see going into camp. I like what they're doing with him. I think he's a fun player. Good young player, good guy to watch. But Trey Norwood would probably be a good one for me in this game. I just saw something to the effect that Terrell Austin had said that he's in a pretty good position right now to be their backup safety. That's not the impression I think I would have gotten from Norwood to this point in camp. But I really like Norwood as far as being a fit for this defense, so right. I wouldn't be surprised if they kept him on the active roster if he could play teams. Let's see what he does. You know, that's an important position. You're not exactly sure what they would do if Minka Fitzpatrick were to go down. He's going to be a big-dollar player. We know that coming up. So, you know, they might need a guy on a cheap contract here in another 2 years to replace an all-pro player. So I really like Norwood for what the kind of player he is and the kind of coverages the Steelers have been running lately, really under Terrell Austin. I think he's a great fit, and I definitely think he's a kid that they're going to want to hang on to. I wasn't sure if he was just going to be a practice squad guy this year, though.
Right.
I thought that the pursuit angle that he took on the Eagles receiver who took that 70-yard touchdown run, I would have thought that would be enough to kind of convince him that Norwood probably shouldn't be on the roster this year. But maybe that doesn't matter. You know, some guys you just have a strategic plan for, and they can work him in on the 53.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for the time. Look forward to talking next week.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.